This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 776. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beaches and baskets, kente cloth and trotros, surfing and slave castles as we go to Ghana in West Africa. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Ghana.
I'd like to welcome to the show Jackie Habib from JackieHabib.com, who has come to talk to us about the African country of Ghana. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
And what's your connection with Ghana?
Well, I actually lived in Ghana for a period in 2013 and 2014, and I have amazing friends, and I love the country, and I keep going back to visit.
Excellent. And let's put Ghana on a map for our listeners. We're talking about Western Africa, a southern-facing country, which you have to have a picture of Africa in your mind when you say that. And why should someone go to Ghana?
Ghana is an incredible country for so many reasons. The culture in the country is so, so rich. Ghanaian music is so much fun to dance to and to listen to. Ghanaian food tastes amazing. We can talk more about that during the podcast. Mm-hmm. And the weather is quite great, actually, year-round. The ocean is stunning. Ghanaians are so friendly. They're such lovely people. So it's such an incredible country. And I mean, if people do a Google search on it, they'll find often that it's referred to as Africa 101 or Africa for beginners, which I do find a little strange. But I think it's because English is the national language. It's quite easy to travel around. It's very safe as well. And I say this particularly for any solo female travelers who are listening to this, considering whether they can or should travel to Ghana. I have, and I think it's fantastic.
And coincidentally, the other show that we've done on Ghana, which was more than 500 episodes ago, so more than 10 years ago, was another solo female traveler, Lily Marshall from AroundTheWorldL.com. Excellent. Well, what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us for Ghana?
Okay, so it really depends on how much time folks have. Mm-hmm. But Accra is the capital that people would fly into, and it's definitely worth spending some time in Accra. So please don't just head out of the city. I really enjoy being in Accra, and I think there's a lot to do and see there. And there's a lot of day trips that you can do from Accra as well. So don't miss that. So I would recommend a few nights in Accra to just get used to the city life, see what traffic is like, go out at night. It's just a lot of fun. So definitely Accra. And then I would also recommend maybe two nights at Cape Coast. And Cape Coast is, as the name suggests, along the coast. It is stunning and beautiful, obviously, with palm trees and such a clean, fantastic ocean to swim in. But one of the must-dos or must-sees in Cape Coast is actually the slave castles. Mm-hmm. So Ghana has such a deep history, and the transatlantic slave movements had a presence in Ghana, actually, where slaves were getting on ships there and going out. Those castles have been preserved, and there are tours that individuals can take to learn more about the slave trade movement and what that was like. And it's certainly an overwhelming and important experience that I recommend folks have when they're in Cape Coast. After Cape Coast, I would recommend that folks head to Tamale, which is in the north of Ghana and is very different, definitely something to experience. From there, if people have time, visiting surrounding villages and towns like Bolgatanga and seeing some of the artistry there. And if they have more time, going to Kumasi, Takoradi, doing a day trip from Accra to Ada. So there's a lot of options of things people can do there.
Excellent. Well, shall we go back and do that now in a little more, actually, in much more detail? You started us in Accra, which is probably where we're going to fly in as well, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what are we going to do in Accra with our 2 to 3 days there that you had us?
Accra is great for picking up souvenirs. There's an art center where you could just do all of your souvenir shopping all at once. There's also going to a neighborhood called Osu, which is quite central, and I would recommend that people stay around Osu. It's very walkable, and there's a ton of restaurants, cafes, nightlife. There's great fabric shops there. There's a ton of markets as well in Accra, open-air markets. Accra hosts the largest open-air markets in West Africa. And so we're talking about thousands and thousands of vendors who are there selling their products. It's just such an interesting, bustling place to go to. So,
and you mentioned shopping and souvenirs, and you mentioned fabric. And my thinking is that those two may be related, that one of the things that people in this portion of Africa will sometimes shop for is fabric, or having fabric made into, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, a brightly colored dress or a brightly colored outfit.
Yes. Yes. So there are several options of how people can approach this. They can go into a store like Woodin is probably the best known shop in Accra that sells beautiful fabrics, as well as going to markets, walking along. I mean, like, you cannot miss this. This is not necessarily something you have to go out of your way to find fabric. Mm-hmm. You can find women just selling fabric, literally carrying it on their heads, and you can just tell them how many yards you want. And so you just have to figure out how many yards it'll take to get whatever outfit you want made. And again, finding a tailor is something that is so easy. You do not need to go out of your way to do this either, because tailors are everywhere in Ghana. You'll find them along the streets, you'll find them in stores, you'll find them in malls, and basically they take your measurements and can have anything you want custom made. And I think that is such a fun thing to do. I love getting outfits made all the time, and it's a beautiful souvenir as well.
Well, and you mentioned souvenirs. Besides that, are there other things that I ought to be watching out for? Really great craft work in Ghana is the what?
So there's definitely wooden carvings, mm-hmm. which are beautiful. Actually, going back to the fabric, I would be remiss if I did not talk about kente, which is the very famous fabric that comes from Ghana. It's basically woven thread that people create using these like old wooden machines. And it takes so much skill to create this. Folks can even visit weaving villages to see how it's actually created. But if you don't have time to do something like that, then you can actually just buy kente cloth, which is what Ghana is really known for when it comes to fabrics.
And I'm assuming those old wooden machines they were using are old wooden looms?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And then in terms of other souvenirs, there's baskets, fans and hats that are quite popular. Okay. And these all come from the northern part of the country. Mm. And honestly, everywhere I go in the world, I recognize Ghanaian baskets. And I know immediately this comes from a place called Bolgatanga in Ghana, where they create these absolutely stunning baskets. So if people are into that, I would definitely recommend it. And you don't have to travel all the way there, because there are tons of places within Accra and elsewhere that stock and sell these baskets, even just by the roadside. In Accra, you'll definitely pass by places where you can purchase that. And then for folks who are into skincare, I would definitely recommend buying black soap, which is made in Ghana and fantastic for your skin. And I would also recommend shea butter and cocoa butter, which is produced in Ghana. So folks who moisturize and are into that probably may know that the majority of shea butter from the world comes from Ghana.
I don't even know what shea butter is, I will be honest with you.
So it's basically, imagine a body butter that you put on, kind of like cream, but really rich, and it moisturizes your entire body and it's great for your skin. You can also use it even for cooking. You can use the butter, not just as body butter, but you can use it in all different types of ways. People use it for their hair as well, as a treatment or as a styling product. Okay. So that's definitely something that I would recommend.
And from the nut of the shea tree. See, the problem is I've never heard of a shea tree. So
yeah, exactly. And so if folks have the chance to travel actually to northern Ghana, they can go to villages where they see the entire process from nut to the actual product and purchase it from the woman who make it. So that's always something that's really quite interesting to do. And so fun fact is, if you're buying some moisturizing cream that has shea butter in it from, let's say, the Body Shop or any other large store in North America, they are more than likely sourcing it from Ghana and the same exact villages that you can visit, which is pretty neat.
Cool. Well, anything else? Once we've got our shopping done in Accra, are there places that we can connect with the culture or the history of the country?
Yes. So in terms of culture, there are definitely some places to enjoy live music, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Accra has a jazz club. There's also, even if folks just Google different places, that's what I would recommend, to see if there are any like shows and concerts going on at the time of their visit. That would be great. Ghana is known for high life music, which is hard to describe. I almost just want to play some, but I can't right now. So if people look up maybe any high life musical shows that are happening, that's a great cultural experience as well. There are workshops people can do in Accra as well, from like fabric dyeing to drumming to different things like this to get into the culture. So obviously that's a bit commercialized, but it's absolutely still a cultural experience that people can have. And then I think the nightlife is worth experiencing, walking around, going to clubs and bars and enjoying some of the live music. And then in terms of music, actually, because I'm really into that. So December is a time of the year that there's lots of concerts happening in Ghana. There's a concert called December to Remember. There's Afrochella. There's Afro Nation. I believe those are usually held in December. Around August time, there's a fantastic festival called Chalewate, which happens over the course of a week. And they basically shut down an entire street, fill it with art installations. And there's music and performances and...
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got, packed with dry ice, came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping is always curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
It's super crowded and super fun. So that's a great experience as well. So these are some of the cultural experiences and some of the activities that people can do in Accra.
Excellent. Anything else we want to cover in Accra before we head to the Cape Coast?
I think that covers it for me. I'm sure I'll remember some more things later on, but that's definitely enough to keep someone busy for several days.
Well, I guess the other question I should ask is any particular, for instance, restaurant or dish we should order in Accra before we head out?
Okay. So I don't think there's a particular dish that's specific to Accra.
Okay.
But I'm definitely happy to chat more about Ghanaian food if you want to talk about that.
Sure.
So Ghanaian food is known for being really flavorful and quite spicy as well. There's a number of dishes I would recommend. I know that I will not be doing justice to food in Ghana, but I'll mention a few things. So fufu is one of, It's basically a staple in Ghana. It's basically a dough made from cassava, and it's usually dipped in some sort of stew. And so there's all different types of stew that folks would have fufu with, but that's definitely something that people should try. There's also really great grilled or fried tilapia in the country. There's plantains. Actually, there's something called keliweli, which is plantain, and it's basically spiced really well. So aside from plantains, folks can try that. And I quite like something called groundnut stew, which is, as the name suggests, a stew that is made of groundnuts, which we know as peanuts.
Peanuts, right. Mm-hmm.
And there's always something in the stew as well, whether it's goat or some other type of meat. I'm actually vegetarian, so I can't specifically recommend dishes for those who eat meat, but you definitely have a lot of options, so do not worry about that. Another dish I would recommend is something called wache, which is a mix of so many different things, including eggs, beans, spaghetti, rice, plantains. Like, it's just a mishmash of all these things, but it's delicious. So that's called wache.
So wache is the clean out the fridge night, it sounds like.
You know what? It's... I mean, it's not. There, like, you can go to, and street food is very, very popular in Ghana. Ghanaians eat out all the time. I mean, like, when I was working there, most of my colleagues would just go out and find their favorite vendor by the roadside and grab lunch that way instead of, like, packing a lunch for work. That's not really common there. I've heard that a lot of people like having wache on Sundays. They will make the trip out to their favorite wache joint and do that. But folks can eat that whenever, of course. Ghanaians usually eat quite a heavy breakfast. Sometimes they have like porridge or pancakes, and other times they can actually have something like wache for breakfast. And then another thing that I would mention is that fruit tastes delicious in Ghana, whether it's coconuts or pineapple or avocado, bananas, they just taste so good and so fresh. And coconut water and coconut, you can have that basically everywhere. So if you're walking down the street, you'll definitely find vendors who are selling coconuts there. And I always find it pretty amazing that the vendors there have some sort of innate ability to know exactly what the coconut will have inside it just by knocking on it with a machete. And so you can tell them basically whether you want one with plenty of water inside it, you just say plenty water, or whether you want to actually eat the coconut inside, because after you drink it, they can open it up for you. And I don't know how else to describe it other than we would just say, in Ghana, we would say if you want the coconut hard or soft. And by just knocking on it with the machete, they would know. And hard would mean you can really eat all of the coconut. Okay. They'll scrape quite a bit for you there. And soft is it's more kind of rubbery in texture from the inside. And that's what you would do after drinking it. And you can always get it in like a to-go bag or something like that. So that's always fun as well.
Okay. Well, shall we move on to Cape Coast then?
Yes.
So you mentioned the slave castles.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular one? I know it's a World Heritage Site because of that history. Is there a particular place that we're going?
So there is a slave castle in Cape Coast, which does tours. There's also one in Elmina, and Elmina is very close to Cape Coast. Folks can visit both of those sites in the same day if they'd like. So again, that is absolutely worth learning about and doing the tour there. Aside from that, Cape Coast and Elmina, they're just beautiful coastal towns. Mm-hmm. And so if folks want to spend some time relaxing there, a bit of R&R, that is highly encouraged. It is just such a scenic, lovely place to get some downtime. There's also in Cape Coast something called Kakum National Park, which is a beautiful national park that features a canopy walk. And so folks can walk on these suspended bridges and do that canopy walk. And something pretty neat, if someone wants kind of a off the beaten path experience, is within Kakum National Park, there's actually a treehouse that people can spend the night in. So there's different types of accommodations, but I spent the night in the treehouse, and that was a very unique experience. I would recommend if folks are adventurous, knowing that it's not going to have the type of amenities that, say, a treehouse somewhere in North America would have. So if you're okay with an outhouse and quote-unquote roughing it a little bit to really be in nature and have such a unique experience, it's worth it.
Well, and you say roughing it, and I'm also looking at pictures of Cape Coast, and when you describe that pretty beach town, but African beach town, not Caribbean beach town. So we're not talking about high-rise hotels. We're talking about fishing boats and colorful scenes and things like that. So if you're looking for the packaged, sanitized kind of tourism, it doesn't look like that. If you're looking for interesting, exciting, and colorful, it definitely looks like that. Am I on the right track?
So Ghana is definitely interesting, exciting, and colorful. Absolutely. I would say there definitely are some high-end resorts if people want that type of experience, but that's not necessarily the norm. Most people who go to Ghana are there for an adventure, and they actually want to have more of a local experience rather than staying in a bougie hotel.
I would say I saw these pictures and wanted to go there more. So yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things I love so much about Ghana is people there are just so friendly and chatty, and you can strike up conversation. You can wake up early and see the fishermen. You can talk to them the evening before and ask them if you can go out with them. People are so welcoming. And I think that's one of the best ways to experience the country is just by chatting with people who live there. And I feel like inevitably you will get invited to someone's relative's wedding or naming ceremony, or they will want you to meet the chief in their town. And I would say just roll with it. That is the beauty in being there. If you can attend a wedding or a funeral, which sounds strange, but funerals are quite epic events in Ghana, then go for it.
Excellent. Anything else we want to cover in Cape Coast before we head further north inland?
That covers Cape Coast.
Okay. Excellent. And then you took us further north, and I had in my notes that we were going up to Tamale.
Yes.
Which is a third, two-thirds of the way up the country now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're,
exactly.
We're flying so there, Tamale, or are we taking a very long drive?
Tamale is in the northern region. I would recommend flying there. It's okay. Probably about a 45-minute flight from Accra, and flying within the country is quite affordable. So Tamale is a very different city compared to Accra. That's why it's just interesting to see. The pace of life is much slower. You won't be seeing the fancy Instagrammable restaurants and cool food trucks and things like that that you would see in Accra. It's more quiet. There's a different way of life in terms of transportation there, which traffic is never that bad in Tamale, not like Accra. And let me warn people about Accra traffic, which is quite something. Particularly, I will warn people if they're planning on traveling in December, traffic is much worse in December because the country just has so many more tourists, and a lot of Ghanaians in the diaspora come back to spend the holidays in Ghana. So traffic is just nuts during the month of December, but it's also a lot of fun. And so in Tamale, traffic is not as bad. People get around a lot on bicycles and on motorbikes. It's fun to just sit and watch people go by on motorbikes. You can see a dad taking three or four of his kids on a motorbike to school. You'll find kids riding bicycles to school as well in their uniforms. It's just quite different in terms of how the streets look, how people look is quite different. Housing looks a bit different. It won't be uncommon when you're on the outskirts of Tamale to see people in like huts or mud homes that they've made, which you would not generally see in Accra.
Okay.
And then in terms of activities and things to do in Tamale, there's also food that's unique actually to the northern region. So one of the foods I'm thinking of is called Tau Zafe, I believe, just nicknamed as TZ. And that is also kind of like a stew that the northern region is known for. So that's something to try out. In terms of activities or sites to see, there are a lot of towns and villages that people can go to from Tamale if that's their base. So we already talked about shea butter. So some of the villages that folks would visit to actually see that process and meet the women who are making that, Tamale would be your base. You would do a day trip from Tamale to do that. If folks want to go to Bolgatanga, which I also mentioned, that's where the baskets are made. It's a little bit further because Bolgatanga is really close to actually Burkina Faso, which is north of Ghana, but you would have to fly into Tamale before going to Bolga to do that. Another reason why Tamale is often on travel lists is because that's basically the place you would fly into to go to Mole National Park. That's something, Chris, that is quite often recommended on itineraries of what to do in Ghana. But I actually don't necessarily recommend Mole National Park. I mean, I've been there and I had a fantastic time. But in terms of safaris, generally East Africa is the place to go if you really want to do a safari rather than West Africa. So if you're going to West Africa, I would really recommend just immersing yourself in the cultural experience there, going to visit as many villages and towns and doing workshops and meeting people. And I would really recommend spending your time there instead of flying into Tamale. And then it's a few more hours to go to the national park there and going on safari, because I mean, there are a few elephants in the park and there's all sorts of like birds and deer and antelopes and those sorts of animals, but you're definitely not going to see like the big five that you would see in East Africa. You're not going to see gorillas or chimps or anything like that. So I would actually recommend to skip that.
Well, and so it sounds like if I was going to Ghana and it was my only Africa trip, maybe go. But if I'm planning getting back to Africa, which why wouldn't you? Well, and we didn't say when we introduced you that you are a journalist who is working half the time, I got the impression, in Africa. And so you have traveled to a few of the African countries. Is that fair to say?
Yes, exactly. So I spend most of the year, based in Kenya, actually, and I travel across Africa to report about social justice issues and humanitarian issues and women's rights in the continent. I spend a few months of the year in Toronto, Canada, which is also home, which I love. And I will just say that I had been wanting to come to Africa and do work in Africa for as long as I can remember. And it's really Ghana that set me on this path. So when I was there years ago doing a work stint, I fell in love with the people and the culture and the country. And I decided that I was just going to pretty much stay and figure it out. I mentioned I'm based in Kenya. That's where I'm speaking to you right now. But I have such a soft spot for Ghana. And I always go back and visit. And I'm sure that if folks visit the country, they'll have the same experience and they'll keep coming back to Africa.
Excellent. Any place else while we're up in Tamale that we want to make sure that we get to or that we want to make sure we skip? Either way works.
That probably covers it for Tamale.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else we want to do before we wrap up our itinerary and get to some of our wrap-up questions?
So, I mean, it really depends on how much time folks mm-hmm. have. If they do have time to go to Kumasi, they can definitely do that. Kumasi is also a big city, kind of like Accra, but very rich in culture. That's where the Ashanti people come from.
Okay.
And there's just so much to see there. They have big markets. I believe they have an animal sanctuary as well, a donkey sanctuary, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and there's a craft center there. So there's always things to do. But from a cultural standpoint, Kumasi is definitely one place to check out. And then if people want to chill a little bit, then I would recommend going to Tekurati. And both Kumasi and Tekurati, you can fly to both of those places from Accra. Very short. I'm talking like half-hour flights probably from Accra, and again, quite affordable. And Tekurati is along the coast. It's not inland the way Kumasi mm-hmm. is. And generally, it's for relaxing. There's a lighthouse. There's beautiful beaches. There's also surfing. So there is a little bit of surfing around Accra, but mostly if people want to surf, I would recommend Cape Three Points, Tekurati area. And I just want to give a disclaimer in case anyone's listening to this who's like a professional surfer and expecting some like world-class surfing city. It's not Malibu. It's not Cape Town. But it's surfing in an African coastal town, which is a very unique and cool experience on its own.
Okay, maybe a place to go learn surfing, not a place to compete at the international level.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. mm-hmm. Anything else we want to do while we're down there back on the coast in Tekurati?
Not that I know of. When I was there, I was really just chilling okay. by the beach.
I am sure
there's a lot to do. But that whole area, that coastal area around Tekurati is all beautiful. There's another place called Axim as well. And if folks are researching their trip, they can probably Google around. And I'm sure people have different opinions of what has the best water. But it's all fantastic, really.
Okay. Well, here's a question for you. So you said Mole National Park, not necessarily the best spot in Africa for a safari. Mm-hmm. Your favorite natural spot in Ghana?
I mean, obviously the ocean is beautiful. I just find it very calming mm-hmm. to be by the ocean. So that's something I recommend. But something that people will come across in their research for sure is Vli Waterfalls, which is in the Volta region. So this is a few hours outside of Accra. And I believe there's two waterfalls actually within that park. And so you can do either a short trek or a long trek to get to the waterfalls. And that's just beautiful. So it's definitely something, if folks are into nature, something that they can check out.
Tallest waterfall in West Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Excellent. Well, are we ready to get to some of our wrap-up questions?
Yes, we are.
You're standing in the prettiest spot in Ghana. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
The prettiest spot. Okay. I think I would be standing in Cape Coast,
okay. Okay.
Watching the sunset with my friends, with a fresh coconut in hand. And I'd be there on the beach just looking at the sunset surrounded by palm trees.
Okay. Now you're watching the sunset, but you're at a south-facing beach, so it's kind of off to your right.
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. It's still beautiful. Trust me.
Got it. Well, and when you talked about the waters, we are pretty darn close to the equator if I'm getting my mental map of Africa right here. We're talking about warm waters here also.
Yes. So that is something that's great is the water. I mean, if it's swimmable, then it's warm. You can definitely swim and enjoy the water. Unlike, for example, I was in Vancouver not long ago and it is freezing. You do not want to go swimming in Vancouver. So yeah, definitely you can pretty much go swimming year round.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Ghana.
People making you laugh on public transit and just how much of an experience that is. Although it's quite common for people to get around nowadays on Uber throughout the country, I would definitely recommend that people hop onto a Trotro, which is what we would call minibuses.
Okay.
And it's just so fun to be in a Trotro. I mean, sometimes there's music blaring. Sometimes there's a little TV screen that you can watch movies off of. People are quite friendly, but sometimes someone will be there packing into the back of a Trotro a goat or a crate full of chickens or something like that that they're taking elsewhere. And that's usually quite entertaining. Aside from the driver, there's someone else who works on the Trotro who's called a mate. And he actually hangs kind of outside the vehicle. He's like half inside, half outside the vehicle. And I say he because 99% of the time it is a man who's doing this. I think once or twice in my life I've seen a woman mate, which has been quite impressive. And so they're usually just standing inside the vehicle, but yelling outside the vehicle, always trying to get more passengers. This is private. So you're trying to bring on more passengers because it's more money for them and for the driver. And so they always yell what direction they're going to and where they're going. So they'll yell things like 37, 37, 37, which is a popular spot and bus stop there. Or they'll say Labadi, 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 and they'll just keep repeating it. And Labadi is along the coast. It's a beach and it's a community. So they're always going to be yelling the direction that they're going in. And it doesn't matter what direction you go in. It's an experience to have as a tourist. So I would definitely recommend that. And paying attention to them, seeing how they navigate across traffic, paying attention to their body language. They're actually hand signals that they use as well to signify what direction they're going to. So there's a certain gesture they would do for, there's a place called Circle. That's a roundabout. And so they might call it Cirque. Circ, 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 circ is what they would say. And they would gesture their hand in a certain way so that people who can't hear them can also see that. So it's quite an experience. I'd recommend it.
Well, and you said they're always trying to get more people on. I think of buses I've been on in developing countries where I was sure that you couldn't pack one more person on the bus and six more people came on. We're talking about that level of personal space?
So, I mean, yeah, you'll definitely get quite cozy. This is not like taking the underground in London or like taking the streetcar in Toronto. It's a packed small minibus or microbus.
Yep. Excellent. And if you had to summarize Ghana in just three words, what three words are you going to use?
Ooh, okay. I would say incredible, lively, colorful.
Excellent. Our guest again has been Jackie Habib from JackieHabib.com. And normally, Jackie, when I have on travel writers, I say, where can we send people to get a better write-up that they have done on the country that we're talking about? For you, where you write on women's issues and human rights issues and such in Africa, is there an article that you would recommend for us that you've written recently that would get us more informed of what's going on in Africa?
Ooh. There's so much. much. But if folks want to go to my website, so that's, as you mentioned, jackyhabib.com. So it's JACKYHABIB.com. I have a portfolio section there where I include some of my best multimedia pieces and work samples, so people can read some of my stories there if they're curious, and they can connect with me on social media. You'll find me on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else at Jackie Habib. That's my handle. And I'm very frequently posting about Africa and about my travels throughout the continent, so people can follow me there. But in terms of wanting to know more specifically about Ghana and travel around Ghana, I would recommend on YouTube looking up someone called Mr. Ghana Baby. He has a large following and he does some really great videos about Ghana. And I would also recommend someone named Akosua Shirley. So she is on Instagram. I'll just spell that out. Akosua is A-K-O-S-U-A and then Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y. So she is an influencer, travel vlogger. She has fantastic information about traveling the entire country. And if I'm not mistaken, she is the first Ghanaian woman to travel solo across the entire country. She also puts together travel itineraries so folks can get in touch with her as well.
Excellent. Jackie, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for the country of Ghana.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
As always, my thanks go out to the patrons who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in becoming a patron and hanging out with me, as we did last Saturday with patrons of the show, then go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler to learn more. One thing I forget to talk about on the podcast is that there is also an Amateur Traveler blog, as well as a California travel blog. And I'm publishing things to that all the time. I've just put out a post on the best carry-on luggage for 2021 that has some guides to finding a good carry-on, as well as some reviews of things that I have tried. I put out a post on things to do in Bodega Bay and the Sonoma Coast recently, and also best things to do in Charleston, South Carolina. And then we also have guest posts that have come out recently on hiking in the Dolomites, on places to visit in Sicily, slow traveling while working remotely, and things to do in Las Vegas besides gambling. So check out amateurtraveler.com for more information. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.